Welcome to the Women Shifting Gears podcast, where we talk to some of the most dynamic, inspiring, and powerful women who are changing the narrative of what it means to be female in the automotive space. I'm your host, Amanda Busick. They say it might not be easy, but it will be worth it. To all the women out there sitting in the left seat, grab your road snacks. Let's go for a ride. Welcome again to another episode of the Women Shifting Gears podcast. On this episode, Courtney Four stops by to join us. I'm super pumped to have her stop in. I first crossed paths with Courtney back in 2016 when I started covering drag racing for the NHRA on Fox. And as a new person to drag racing, you just noticed how fans gravitated to Courtney Four. You saw the media gravitate to Courtney Four. And I think through this podcast and her energy, you will see just why. Courtney gained much of her influence through a successful 10-year career in NHRA drag racing. She raced pro in the Nitro Funny Car category alongside her legendary father, the 16-time Funny Car World Champion, John Force. To this day, Courtney remains the winningest female Funny Car driver in NHRA history with 12 wins. One of those wins marked the 100th professional victory for women in the NHRA. As a new mom to daughter Harlan, Courtney has taken a larger role in the Graham and Courtney Ray Hall Foundation, while also keeping in touch with her fans and brands through different social media platforms. But will Courtney Force return to the seat and race Funny Car again? That is a question that might be answered in this podcast. Courtney Force is a 12-time winner in the NHRA. She is a daughter. She is a sister. She's a wife, an aunt, and a mom most recently. Please welcome to the podcast, Courtney Force. And as we break into this 30-minute drive with you, I want to start at the beginning, your first title of being daughter. You were born into a racing family. What's your earliest memory around that?
Oh, gosh. Well, first off, thank you for having me on the show. Really excited that we were able to get this to work. And just to see your face again, I feel like it's been forever since I've seen you at the racetrack. But yeah, no, it's, growing up in the sport of NHRA drag racing, obviously watching my dad compete in the funny car category, it was always so much fun. I grew up out there. Obviously, I was in a diaper. So that's really my first memory, I guess, like looking at pictures and seeing me in a winner's circle with a diaper on. Yeah, I mean, I took naps in the tow car and would wake up and be like, how did dad run? Like, it was just so much fun. I got to hang out with the crew guys and really be a part of the whole family team aspect of it and be covered in grease and in dirt and just hang out with everybody and be out there with my dad and my mom and my sisters and learn about the sport and just watch my dad, well, go fast, but also catch on fire a lot. But no, I think my best memory, honestly, as a kid out there is like sitting in the grandstands, eating my animal crackers and cheering my dad on to a final round and hanging out in the winner's circle, being with the team. And we would always like sing songs in the tow car when we win the We Are the Champion song. I just have the best memories, I think, with everybody just being together out at the races.
Courtney Force is the daughter of the winningest driver in NHRA history, John Force. When did you know that your dad was a big deal?
When I would go to a friend's house and their dad was there for dinner. And I realized like what my dad does probably isn't normal. I'd be like, oh, my dad's out of town again. And he drives a race car and like seeing people's initial like shock, I realized maybe that's not a normal job. I guess that was when I started realizing it. And then just being like in a restaurant and having people come up and ask for his autograph. That's when I was like, okay, why are people asking for that? Like, what, you're just my dad. Like, I didn't understand it, but yeah, I started to figure it out as I got a little bit older and people would be like, you know, that your dad is, you know, the best NHRA driver, the winningest or whatever. And you're like, I guess, I don't know. He drives a car for a living, but I don't know. It was always really cool. It was fun.
And to you, he's dad. So with that, you know, a lot of times people don't recognize or maybe first part of the recognize that the sacrifices that the families of racers or athletes just naturally have to make by way of schedule or training and practices and things like that. What was life like? How did you guys maintain normalcy when your dad was away?
My mom, I think, maintained normalcy for us for sure. She kept us in school. When it was summer, that was when we could go to the races and watch dad. But my dad would be gone like almost months at a time sometimes. Because back in the 90s, he was doing like the national events, but he was also doing match racing, which is like just more and more races because he was obviously trying to make as much money as possible back in those days, try to keep the sponsor money going and trying to win and just to get to the next race to pay for the hotel and for the team to get there and the trucks and the cars to get there. So I didn't see him that much. I remember my mom had me involved in a lot of different sports. I was in dance. I was in gymnastics. I was in cheerleading. I was in softball. I also took auto shop class as I got a little bit older, as I started realizing I wanted to kind of see the best of both worlds. But yeah, my mom definitely helped maintain the normalcy for our family, just kept us on a schedule. My dad would definitely screw the schedule up when he'd come home from a race. Depending on if he won or lost, we'd either like take the day off of school and go to Disneyland, or we had to have a rough week with dad if he lost the race. Yeah, I mean, it was hard to find the normal balance. We never really had those like sit down dinners. We always would like go out to dinner with our family. My mom wasn't a big cook.
Your mom, Lori, is, I always love seeing her at the top end, watching her girls race. For the listeners, when Courtney raced or Brittany and Ashley, your mom, likes to take photos of you guys, which I think is so cute. Like it's still the first race and, yes. And it's just so sweet to watch. Talk a little bit more about the relationship you have with your mom.
We are extremely close with our mom. She is our number one supporter and she kind of keeps us on the normal side of things because my dad is so like wild and crazy. We always turn to my mom, like, how do you deal with him? How did you marry him? Like, he's insane. But it was always like, cause we were working with him. It was just like a whole different side. We were with him all the time. When, like you said, growing up, we didn't see him a lot. And I honestly felt like I didn't know my dad until I actually started racing with him. That's when I really got to know with him and built the bond. But my mom, she is our biggest cheerleader. So it's always fun. She's like, you know, your parents embarrass you forever. And so my mom's always in the background with her camera.
It's so
usually
cute. It's
not even, the camera's usually not even on. Like I've seen her on the starting line on the Fox show and her camera's like upside down and she's looking at it with like a weird face. And we're like, what happened, mom? You didn't get the camera app open? Like giving her a hard time. Cause she's always just like the dance moms out there. Like, fully supportive of her daughters. But no, it's great. We love it. My mom is the best. I FaceTime her probably every day that I'm not with her. Aww. So she, yeah, she's awesome. We've all just have a really close bond with her. So it's been great that she has been so supportive of all of us racing, you know, Funny Car, Top Fuel for Brittany. And she actually went and got licensed in a super comp car years ago, just so that she could understand what all her daughters were going through and what we were talking about, to just kind of understand the sport a little bit better and know what it was like to be on the driver's side of it. So that was kind of cool.
What did she tell you about that experience?
Well, she did it just once. She did the school, got licensed, and then we were like, are you going to start racing? And she was like, nope, that was good for me. She had like a hot pink fire suit, of course. It was hilarious, but she did a great job and she, I think had more of an appreciation of like what we do and, you know, the mental aspect of the sport of like getting in the car, the kind of, some people get claustrophobic when they put on a helmet and they strap down in a car and you can't like talk to your crew chief or anything, you know, no one can hear you when you're in that spot. But I think she just got a more of an appreciation of what we do and the mental, like I said, the mental aspect, the physical ability, just to kind of see it from the driver's point of view.
Well, I want to dig into the mom part of your life a little bit later, but now that you are a mom, can you feel maybe the anxiety that she probably had watching you guys?
I am definitely starting to feel that. I didn't think I would, because I've been around the sport my whole life. Like I said, I've seen my dad on fire. I've seen now, you know, my sister in wrecks. I've been in wrecks. I've been in explosions. So I almost feel like I don't want to say numb to it, but just kind of used to it. Like, this is the sport. This is what happens. But yeah, now that I have a daughter, I like feel so bad for my mom that she has to witness her girls going out there and doing such a dangerous sport. It is definitely gives you a different perspective for sure now that I have a daughter.
Well, moving into kind of my next little segment of sister, You have been able to share this ride with you, along with your sisters. What was life like at the track as a Force girl?
So much fun. We pick on Dad constantly, so it's always fun just having my sister out there. I know, I'm probably said this a million times. My sister's my best friend, but she really is. Like, we'd be at the races together all weekend long, and then we'd go home. We'd literally unpack our suitcases. We were living 10 doors apart at the time when I was competing full time. And I would unpack my suitcase, call Brittany and be like, so where are we going to dinner? What are we doing? Like, as if we didn't spend, you know, 24 hours a day with each other working. Now we come home and get a break and we're all calling the family again to see what everyone's doing. But it's so much fun. It's great having my sister out there just to be able to cheer her on and support her, you know, from the racing side, but just to have like somebody there that I could talk to that actually understands what I'm going through in the race car. That was always a lot of fun to have her to kind of celebrate with, but also to go to her for advice. I think that was a lot of fun. And then to, again, pick on my dad and have fun with that.
I think a lot of, for our listeners, they might not recognize that that what you guys do in drag racing, you're crossing the size of a little over three football fields in 3.7, 3.8 seconds at 300 miles an hour. Describe the intensity of that from the cockpit.
Well, you know, it throws you back in your seat. I think it's like 5 or 6 G's when you hit the throttle. I can compare it to the fact that the first time I hit the throttle in the funny car, I remember everything basically going black. You can't see anything. And I was like, you know, how do you find yourself on the track? This is my first time hitting the throttle in a car like this. I mean, in the first 60 feet, you're going less than a second. I mean, imagine that just kind of going by you. So I remember calling my sister Ashley, who had been licensed in driving funny car at the time. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get licensed in this. Like, it goes by you so quickly. And she's like, give it time to, you know, obviously make more passes and you will kind of get used to the run and the feeling and your eyes kind of catch up with the rest of your body. So when you're going down from 0 to 1,000 feet over 330 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds, it flies by. I flew with the Blue Angels. That's kind of the closest comparison I could probably make to it. You know, it just throwing you back in your seat and then having those positive G's pull you all the way down the racetrack and then you hit the parachute and the negative G's that throw you the opposite direction. And all that happens in just 4 seconds. So it's an adrenaline rush. It's awesome. There's nothing like it.
Definitely not a normal job.
No, not at all.
And when did you know that that's what you wanted your job to be?
I knew when I was in kindergarten. I have a photo of me in my dad's fire suit in boots. And it was a Father's Day card I made for him. And it says, it was something like, I'm the only one that's going to be able to fill your shoes. And it's me in his racing boots. And like, I knew as a kid, I was a little bit of a tomboy. So I was always like, I'm going to be a race car driver when I grow up. I know that this is what I want to do. And I remember being surprised when Ashley got into it. I was like mad. Cause I was like, this is my thing. Like, why are you in racing? And then she went and obviously was very successful. And then I got to kind of have her as a mentor and strive to be like her. So it was really cool to have all my, you know, all my sisters involved. And then of course my older sister, Adria, she's also involved in the business side as well. So it's really cool to kind of have the whole family in there. And I knew that's what I wanted to do and wasn't going to give up until I was able to take that car down the track and win some races. And yeah, had a lot of fun.
Well, you're the winningest female in funny car in history. Do you have a favorite win?
I have a few. I mean, obviously your first win's always the best. My last win was, I think, Richmond, Virginia. That was always fun because I was in the winner's circle as a kid with my dad when he won Richmond, and I'm in a Virginia's for Lovers t-shirt. And I was talking about it all weekend. And that was like, I think the first time we returned back to that track since probably the 90s, who knows. And then I was able to win that race. And my dad and I both wore the Virginia's for Lovers t-shirt. So that was kind of cool. But I have to tell a story if there's time.
Yes.
It's too insane to me that I like feel like I have to share it. Brittany and I, we've always had this inside joke with the number 414. It's from a movie about these girls that go to Thailand and they steal a room key and they go to the pool and buy drinks on someone's room and the room is 414. So anyways, we always kind of joke about that movie. Well, Brittany and I go to Topeka, Kansas. At the time, we weren't roommates, but we had to stay together at the hotel that weekend for whatever reason. And so we were in room 414, which we thought was like so crazy, and we laughed about it. And I think, and then we both were number one qualifier that weekend. And it was the first time in history that I think maybe two females had been number one qualifier in the top two, top fuel and funny car categories. And so Brittany and I were just like, I think we told the story about like, we're, you know, it's good luck. We're in room 414 this weekend, which of course I was like, Brittany, you can't tell people that, but we didn't say what hotel, but someone figured it out.
Oh, no.
So we got a note in our room. So that was obviously qualifying. We both were number one qualifiers. We go to our room that night. The next day is race day. We wake up in our room. We have a note under our door. Someone wrote, "We heard your interview. Congratulations on number one qualifier. We slid this note under your door at 4:14 a.m. to wish you girls good luck on race day." And Brittany and I were like, "That's really awesome. Kind of creepy, but super awesome." And so we go into race day. I think Brittany gets to the semifinals. I go to the final round. And Brittany's like, "How funny would it be if you ran a 4:14? And I was like, "That's not funny because I'm not going to win if I run that. So like, don't joke, because you're running 380s, 390s to win races." And so I can't remember who I was running, but I win the race. I get down to the top end. You know, I'm doing my interview. I get to the winner's circle, like no clue what I ran. They throw the win hat on me. I'm in the winner's circle with my team. Brittany pops in to take a picture with me in winner's circle. And she's standing there with her arm around me. We're smiling at the camera, getting the photos in. And she looks at me and she goes, "Do you know what you ran?" I said, "No, like I haven't had time to look at my time slip yet. It's just been crazy." And she goes, "You ran a 4:14.
No way.
It was just, I get chills every time I tell a story. I don't know why. It's just like the weirdest story to me, but I ran a 4:14 and won. So that's my favorite win because it's just so crazy.
And so serendipitous. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's an amazing story. We take a quick pause here on the Women Shifting Gears podcast to hear from one of our sponsors, Crash Jewelry.
Hi, I'm Christy Shimke, founder and designer at Crash Jewelry. We create sustainable unisex jewelry from discarded sheet metal that we source from late model, luxury, and exotic cars. As a woman in the automotive industry, I'm thrilled to be part of the Shifting Gears family. Women supporting other women allows us all to thrive in this male-dominated community. We're also proud to offer a 15% discount to all Shifting Gears members. Just use the code GSE15 at checkout.
So, Ed, just to kind of stay on the theme of sisters, and I use this, if people could see me, I'm using quotes around the word retirement. But in 2018 was your last season. In 2019, you announced that you were going to step away from racing at the moment. Mm-hmm. You're an aunt to Autumn. You're an aunt to Jacob and Noah. When you started considering that transition, did you speak with Ashley on her transition from race car driver to the next stages of what she was planning for her life?
Yeah, I did. A lot of thought went into it. It was a big transition for me. I had to think about it for years, and I was trying to plan ahead, which is not something you can really plan also, but, I tried to do the best I could. And yeah, I mean, it was a big transition. It was hard for me because I love what I do. I love driving a race car, but also as a female, you can't really do both. So yeah, I had to make that hard decision. And, Graham and I got married and I said, I want to race for a few more years, enjoy being married and not think about a family yet and see where that goes. And then race for a few years. And then we said, maybe it's time to start talking about that. So yeah, transition to, taking time off and tried to start a family. That's what we did. We were fortunate enough to have a baby girl in November of 2020, and it's been amazing. But yeah, it is a big life adjustment, but it is so rewarding and so amazing, being a mom and having a daughter. And Ashley, I think being able to talk to her going through that transition too, she always said like, it's a big step. Like it's something you're so used to being on the road and then, you know, to transition being at home. I think that's the hardest thing is like, I'm used to like being in another state. it's weird to be at home, but it really is the coolest thing.
We'll be right back with you guys here on the Women Shifting Gears podcast after this quick word from our sponsor, the Circuit of the Northwest.
Hi, I am Brian Nilsson, founder of Circuit of the Northwest, a world-class multi-use motorsports facility and racing destination located in the Pacific Northwest. I am proud to support the Shifting Gears community and their mission to get women in the left seat. It mirrors our mission, making the Circuit of the Northwest equal for all, because, you know, the car knows no gender. A limited number of pre-construction founding memberships will become available in June at preferred rates at circuitofthenorthwest.com.
One of your quotes and one of your articles of your quote retirement, you said that it's a bummer for sure, but it's going to be one of the greatest things ever. Yep. So November 2nd, 2020, what was that feeling like?
Well, I should specify the part that I'm saying is bummer is not having a kid for
oh,
sure.
Oh, no, the walking away. Yeah.
Yeah. Walking away from a car. Yeah. It's a bummer because it is such a hard decision, but you can't obviously carry a baby, be pregnant, and go 330 miles an hour. I'm pretty sure that's frowned upon. So
I don't know if it's illegal, but probably definitely frowned upon. There might be a Surgeon General's warning on that one.
So, it was a hard decision for me. My emotions were kind of all over the place. I was ready. I knew it was the right time. I wanted to have a family and I didn't want to miss that opportunity as well. I mean, age is a factor, of course. It's the most rewarding thing. I mean, being in a winner's circle, holding up a trophy is one thing. And it is such an amazing feeling to, you know, obviously win races, but yeah, November 2nd comes along and this beautiful little girl comes into my life. And it's just like, it changes everything. I mean, everyone says that it will, and it really does. It is such a cool feeling being a mom and just, you know, having her around I can't explain it. It really is so amazing. I love being a mom and, I hope one day that I can show her, you know, what I've done. And maybe if that means getting back into a funny car and really showing her, I think that would be pretty cool. Right. But I think she's pretty much doomed. She's probably going to be involved in racing one way or another. Her dad drives an Indy car and I used to drive a funny car. So, you know, she watches all the races anytime I have it on my phone. So she's definitely locked in and loves it. But again, she's only 6 months, but I feel like I can tell.
Hey, I did hear when you caught yourself saying last win, you wanted to correct when you said last win. I heard that.
I don't know how to, I don't know how to, what to call it, but I hope there's more. Definitely hope there's more. And especially after Brittany winning that championship and being there for that, obviously that's one thing that was the hardest part of walking away from racing was knowing that I came close to winning a championship. My final season, like having, I think it was 12 consecutive races, you know, at the start of the season that I was in the points lead. And then we just kind of stepped on our own toes kind of towards the end of the season and didn't finish as well as we'd liked, but still won 4 races in my last year. That was the hardest thing was like being so close and it's like, maybe we'll give it another year, you know, but who knows how long or if ever, you know, if that will happen. It's not easy winning a championship, but it's always in the back of my mind.
All right. I like to hear that. I'm a little biased, but I like to hear it. So you are also one of your roles as well as wife. And to that, you're married to IndyCar driver Graham Rahal. As a former racer and maybe back in the seat at some point, how does understanding the lifestyle help your relationship?
I think it helps a ton, knowing what it's like to have to go from one race to the next. We've been taking our daughter with us, you know, obviously to all the races, but like, it's not like I'm staying at home and he's going to the races. It's a family thing. We take her with us and I'm going to the track and get to be there to support him, watch some racing and travel to the next one. I mean, it's a little tiring. You're living out of a suitcase, but at the same time, that's kind of the only life that I know. So I love it. But yeah, I think it's been great. Obviously, I met Graham at a racetrack. So that was, you know, one thing that we obviously had in common. We both loved racing and were involved in it, loved cars. And yeah, it's been an adventure for sure. But I think it definitely helps knowing that it's a crazy schedule. You get pulled in a bunch of different directions, whether that's with the actual events itself, the races, or media, or appearances. You know, they're going to be all over the map. And obviously, I understand that. So we make it work. It's, you know, it's part of it.
So being the wife of a racer and now mom, how has it connected your mom and you more?
Well, like I said, I FaceTime her all the time, and it's been a lot of fun. But from like the mom standpoint, you know, wanting to do everything you can to be there for your daughter and give her the best life and show her everything. So I'm trying to take her to races and just give her the full experience, be there to see her dad, even if she doesn't really know what's going on right now. Just to really not just sit at home and, you know, see it from afar. I want her to kind of be a part of things and travel with us and get to experience things. And yeah, I think that's what my mom did for us. And I think that's why we grew up loving the sport and having an appreciation for it and the hard work that my dad really put in when he was racing. And I think hopefully, you know, she'll have that same appreciation for what Graham does for the family as well. But at the same time, it's been a lot of fun for me personally, because I've been able to kind of work with our foundation as well on another side of things and try to help raise money for CSU One Gear and Soldier Strong through the golf tournament events that we do. You know, the Thursday before the Indy 500, we're having another one. We've raised over $300,000 last year to help these charities, and we're hoping to do it again. We're actually adding another event at the end of the year called Vino for Vets to help benefit Soldier Strong. And this is to help veterans get back on their feet, both physically and mentally. And really the goal is to try to raise enough money to get them to get an exoskeleton. And so it's really cool to be a part of something so big and something that we're so passionate about. And then Colorado State University's One Cure is looking for, you know, is finding a cure for cancer in both dogs and humans. And it's just really cool working with both of these charities and getting to do it with my husband and have my daughter along with me. It's pretty awesome. It's, you know, it's the best of both worlds. It really is.
Do you sleep?
I mean, to be honest, with a 6 month old, not much, but, no, it's great. I love it. I love to stay busy. I think that's something that I learned from my dad, and I am just used to it. I think the second I stop and don't have something to do, I feel like I'm not doing enough. So, yeah, I definitely keep busy. Graham is the same type of person. So we're always kind of looking for the next thing. And of course with the charities, it's like, how can we continue to raise more money and,
that's awesome,
you know, try to help others.
So have you thought about what happens when Harlan says, I want to be a race car driver?
If you ask me, I would immediately be like, what are the next steps? Like, I'm ready. Is it a junior dragster that you want to get into? Like, I love it. I think it'd be so much fun. But if you ask Graham, he's like, nope, no racing. We're going to get her a pair of golf clubs. It's so much safer. yeah, who knows what she'll be into, but I'd be shocked if she wasn't interested in some type of racing.
When you think of and both Graham and you are children of racers, and especially on your side, legendary racers, when you think of, you clearly made your own name in NHRA, and that's tough whether you're a son or a daughter. Did you feel any pressure of that? Did you feel any pressure of being Courtney Force and not John Force's daughter?
You know, to be honest, going into my rookie season, having the name, there's a lot of pressure because everyone's looking at you and like, you know, you better be good. You got the last name Force. And so you're already trying to prove yourself and immediately not make mistakes. And so I feel like as a rookie, I had a lot more pressure on myself because you don't want to put a bad thing on like the name. I don't know how to explain that, but
yeah, of course,
you know, you want to do well and just be successful having that last name. So there was a lot of pressure that I think I put more on myself. And then going into a few years of racing, getting my first win, I started to feel a little bit more comfortable in my own skin and try to see where I could take it. And I had my dad as a mentor. I had my sisters and my team. And my team has always been great. I mean, throughout the years, just learning from different crew chiefs and having a lot of fun with it. That was the biggest thing. I just had so much fun and loved what I did. But yeah, trying to prove myself and follow in my dad's footsteps, but also try to make a name for myself. It's not easy. I think no matter what, having the name Force, you know, you're connected to your dad. I'd raced for his team and I loved that. I think it was great being a part of the family business. So I don't know. Getting the wins, I think, was the biggest thing that maybe helped back that. But yeah, I had fun. I had great mentors and a great support system and obviously great sponsors that helped support sure. me and my dream to be able to get there.
What's the best part of winning?
The team, being with the team and celebrating with them, no matter what. Being with the team and having the fans come out to the winner's circle to celebrate with you. Getting the notes from fans through social media. I'm like heavily involved in my social media. I do it all myself. I just love the interaction for fans to kind of get behind the scenes with me. But, you know, just like I said, interacting with them. And when you get a win and getting to hear their comments and their feedback and I was at that race or you signed that t-shirt, you know, it's always so much fun for me to get that, to see that side of things. And then just to be out there celebrating with my team who put in so much hard work to get the car running consistently throughout the weekend and to turn on the wind lights. I mean, it's sure. just, it's so much fun getting to celebrate with them and after, you know, a rewarding weekend.
For those that might not know this, at drag races, your ticket is a pit pass. So with that, you can get one-on-one encounters with our drivers while they're in the pits. And Courtney, you were a fixture in your pit with the fans. And some of my favorite images is seeing a little girl with a Courtney Force short looking at you and you signing the shirt or signing the hero card. Talk about the impact that you can have on young kids and young girls especially.
Well, the fans are why we do it. The fans, the support of the fans is why we get to be out there doing what we love, continuing to race. And just seeing the stands full. I remember just pulling up to the water box and just looking out at the stands and just being like, wow, all these people are here to watch all of us race. Like, it's just so cool. And we get to be the entertainment for them. But then on the other side of things, like you said, getting to talk to young girls or even young boys and telling them that, you know, they watched me race and now they want to drive a race car. They didn't know that girls could do it. And that was such a gratifying feeling to just know that like, I'm out there doing what I love and just focusing on trying to get the next win. And you don't realize that you're possibly changing people's lives by just showing them that something like this is possible. You can be a female, you could do it in a male dominated sport. You just have to work hard enough, and really want it. I mean, it's not easy. It's, you know, there's plenty of times where I wanted to give up and thought, I can't do this. I can't get the reaction times. I'm just not good. And then, you know, you keep trying, you keep practicing, you keep working hard and being confident in yourself and being positive, and you can turn things around and start winning races and start being competitive. It's just really cool to have the fans come up to the ropes, talk to me and tell me that, you know, now they want to get in a junior dragster and want to race because they saw me or my sisters do it or some of the other drivers. It's just such a cool feeling to know that you've kind of made an impact on someone.
Well, Courtney, thank you for sharing your story here on Women Shifting Gears. We have a little fun segment called the Hot Lap next. And as someone that goes 330 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds, I'm not sure how intense this will feel to you, but it's our little series of rapid fire questions. So first one to you is, what's your favorite road snack?
My favorite road snack, probably granola bars. Fun fact, I put snacks in my purse for all travel days because I like have a fear that I'm just gonna like starve. So my sister always makes fun of me. I'm like, I was already like a mom before I actually was one because I always had snacks in my purse and everyone would be sitting on the plane like, Courtney, what do you have in your purse? And I'd be tossing out snacks to everybody.
A granola bar for you.
Protein bars all the time.
you name your cars?
Yes. We used to always name our funny car. We'd give it a different name every weekend, depending on how they were acting.
Oh, yeah.
Give them a nice name or not so nice name. But I don't know, like, it's just fun. I always did that with my cars at home that I drove on the road too. So
do you have a dream car?
Yes. But I feel like there's like a million dream cars. I can't really pick one. There's just too many that I'd love to just like get in and test drive. And there's just too many. I don't know. There's a lot. I really like old cars, like old Camaros, but at the same time, I like new fast hot rods as well. So I don't know.
If you're in the left seat headed out on a travel journey, who do you want in the right seat?
Not my dad. probably Brittany, because my dad and Graham are both like, if they're in the passenger seat, they're like backseat drivers and they're critiquing. And it's like, no.
Too much.
Let me drive how I want to drive.
And where are you headed on this journey?
Ooh, road trip probably to Lake Tahoe.
Wonderful. What's on the radio?
Usually old like 90s music, country or top hits. That's probably like the three genres I go on, or the Leon Bridges radio.
Ooh, I do like the Leon Bridges. That is a good travel playlist.
It's so good. I was listening to it last night on the drive home.
Well, as we close down this drive, what's next for Courtney Force?
Oh man, good question. I mean, I feel like I'm taking it day by day right now. Just loving life, being a mom, but also love being out there supporting my family in the NHRA world. I got to be out there at the Gator National supporting them, but also getting to support Graham as well. But right now, focusing on raising money for the Graham and Courtney Rahal Foundation and really digging into that and focusing on that. But definitely still kind of have my eyes set on the future and possibly racing and what that could be. So who knows? I'm keeping my options open.
Well, as I said, I heard you try to correct yourself on the last win as we anticipate that next win. Thank you, Courtney Force.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great talking to you.
The Women Shifting Gears podcast is produced by GS Events, a female-owned collective with a mission to amplify women's voices across the automotive culture. Follow along on our journey on Instagram and Twitter at the handle Women Shifting Gears or on the web at gsevents.live.